Let me ask you a question. Are you religious? Are you religious? Now, some of you might say, of course I'm religious, right? I do a lot of things, for God. I do a lot of those things on a regular basis. I'm a pretty religious person. I believe a lot of that. Some of you guys say, I'm not religious at all, right? I wouldn't call myself religious by any stretch of the imagination. For the 16 people who started our church when we very first were planting Acts Church, we had about 16 people who left a couple churches and came together to plant the very foundation of this church. We came from a little bit more religious background. A lot of the churches based that we had come from, there's basically two of them, they were more traditional. There was a lot more straight-laced, this is how things are done. And it was more religious in nature. And to be honest with you, when we kind of stepped out from that and we started talking about who we wanted to be as a church, it was interesting because one of the things that kind of came forward was we kind of wanted to get away from all this religion. It sounds weird for the beginning of a church plant to talk about how we don't want to be religious, but we had realized that this religion, this trying to do things and trying to learn things and trying all the exterior stuff, that it really wasn't accomplishing what the church was meant to do. We actually started to visit area churches when we were just a young church plant. We went around and met all these different churches, met the pastors, talked to them about what we were going to be doing in the area. We visited churches for months, and on the last weekend of like basically a month, instead of going to visit a church, I put this challenge out to our team. My challenge was, skip church this weekend. We're not going to host a service, and I don't want you to go and visit a church this weekend. I want you to skip church this weekend. I want you to take a weekend off. I want you to sleep in or wake up and eat breakfast or go do something and just experience what it's like for those who don't go to church on the weekend. I want you to skip it this weekend. And almost immediately, I think it was the next day, maybe 2 days later, I got this phone call from this person who had known me from the church previous that I was at. She was connected to one of the people who were in our church plant. And this saint called me to basically berate me and correct me, saying that what I was doing was completely inappropriate. It was terrible spiritual leadership, that I was leading these people astray by telling them to take this weekend off, that I was not honoring the Sabbath by doing this, that by me telling them, don't go to church this weekend, that I was like basically like turning their eyes away from God. Now, that was interesting because I just listened. You know, I didn't really argue back too much. But what struck me in my mind as this conversation was happening was something that I had read in the Bible before. When they were talking about how I was dishonoring the Sabbath by not doing these outward practices, I just kept kind of hearing in the back of my head this verse, because I remember the story about Jesus. In Mark writes down this story as Jesus is walking, and these people who we hear of in the story is called the Pharisees, and they were the most religious people in the planet. They were the people who really, really, they understood the Word of God. And listen what it says. It says, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days of Abiathar, was high priest, and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the high priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. And then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, the Son of Man, that's the name Jesus called himself, even over the Sabbath. Jesus was berated by these religious people who said, you're breaking the law. It says that on the Sabbath, we're not supposed to do any harvesting, and here your guys are breaking the law by harvesting. And he says, listen, you're missing the whole point. They were calling him out saying, you're not very religious. You're missing this law that we're not supposed to do. And Jesus says, you're missing the whole point here. The idea of the Sabbath didn't come to be a restriction for people. It came to be a blessing for people. He says, you're missing the point altogether. This actually takes us to our next core value that I want to share with you. It's this. Acts Church is actively irreligious. Actively irreligious. Here's how we say it. Religion is primarily about rules and outward practices, but those things really don't get us any closer to God. We believe that if a person starts a relationship with Jesus, their life will change naturally. We don't make anything sacred that doesn't have to be, and we seek out ways to keep us from getting caught up in religion. Friends, when we planted this church, and even to this day, this is one of our core values, we as a church don't want to be religious. We don't want to be religious. There are hundreds and thousands of religions around the globe. Sets of laws and rules and practices that people do to try to get close to God. There's even hundreds and hundreds of different religions in Christianity, to be honest with you. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, and that will get you closer to God. And we believe all of it is a lie. We don't believe that any religion will save your soul. We believe that only a relationship with Jesus actually changes our eternity. We don't want to be religious. Now, why would we be okay with the idea of being a church and not being good at religion? Because that sounds a little crazy, right? We're going to plant a church and we're not going to be religious. The reason why we're okay with not being religious, not being good at religion, is because Jesus wasn't good at religion. Jesus wasn't good at religion. Now that sounds crazy, right? Jesus, the Son of God, he actually wasn't very good at religion. We see this altercation that happens with the Pharisees I just read you, right? He's walking through these grain fields. They call him out for basically not keeping the finest detail of this law. He says, you're missing the point. But listen how the story goes on. We can read these stories that give us such a good picture of this. Look at Luke 5, 33 through 35. Luke is talking about this other situation that happens. He says, one day some people said to Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly. And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking? Jesus responded, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not, but someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. The Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, you and your followers, you guys aren't as religious as the other people. John, his disciples, are always praying and fasting, and the Pharisees, his disciples, are always praying and fasting, and your guys don't. They are more religious than you. They do a better job at religion than you do, Jesus. What's the deal with this? And Jesus breaks it down and shows them, yeah, actually, they are more religious than I am. They do more of these outward practices, but see, friends, they'd be missing the point. He says, right, they'll fast, they'll pray, but right now, we're celebrating that I'm here. I don't need to just do these religious practices to prove. I'm telling you, in religion, it's always about comparison. It's always about comparison, just like these. It wasn't about what Jesus was doing. It was about what Jesus was doing in comparison to what other people were doing. Religion always compares. Oh, this church does this. Well, that church does this. Oh, this Christian does this. Well, that Christian does this. It's never about what the people are actually doing. It's about what they're doing in comparison to someone else. Jesus says, it's okay, I don't look as religious. It's okay, I'm not as religious as these people. I'm focusing on what's most important. Matthew tells another story. It says in Matthew 15, 1 through 9, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrive from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully to father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say that they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. He wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce. They teach man-made ideas as commands from God. They come and they say, Jesus, we've had this tradition forever in the church, right? We've had this tradition forever that we do this each time we eat, and your guys are disrespecting our tradition. I'll tell you what, traditions are dangerous in the hands of religious people. Because what they'll do is they'll take a tradition and they'll elevate it to the place where it's equal with the word of God. And that's what Jesus said. He says, yeah, they don't honor your traditions, but you've made your traditions so important that they're more important than the word of God. You would rather have them honor your tradition than honor the word of God instead. Jesus says, no, you don't get it. The traditions aren't as important. That's not the point. It's the heart of the matter. They say, well, just tradition, right? Why wouldn't you do this? You disrespect our religion. And Jesus says, yeah, because your religion disrespects God. Jesus wasn't good at religion. Religion falls short of satisfying God. Religion, those outward practices, the things we do or say or learn, it falls short of actually satisfying God. Did you know that God can get burnt out on religion? That God can get burnt out on religion. We actually see it all the way back in the Old Testament, the time of the kings and the prophets, that God sent this prophet Amos to come and speak to the people because their hearts were so far away from God. They weren't really honoring God with their hearts. They didn't really trust God. They weren't really faithful to him, but they were very religious. They would always have their religious services, right? They would come in on the weekends and they would sing those songs and they would make sure they would put in their tithe, their money, and they would talk a good talk, but their heart was far away. And listen what God says to the prophet Amos. He says this, Amos 5:21-24, I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and the solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with all your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice and an endless river of righteous living. He says, I think you missed the point. Yeah, I'm not saying there's something wrong with those church services or those celebrations, but if you think that's what I want, you've missed it. He says, I don't need you to sing praise to me. I don't need you to bring your money to me. I don't need you to talk a good talk. I want your life to be righteous. I want your heart to be after me. I want you to pursue the things that are right because you love me, not because they make you look holy. God literally says, let me just be real with you, right? If it's not about the heart, all the rest of it is worthless. Like a night like tonight, today, when you come in today, this morning, and you were singing those worship songs earlier, if it wasn't in the heart, he says, I'm not even listening to your worship. You can say all the words you want about how great I am. My back is turned on you because I don't want to listen to it. I'm burnt out on all of that religion. That isn't the point. Jesus, when he comes to this earth, he talks a lot about religion to these people who were really, really focused in on it. And he points to the fact that religion, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. All those outward practices, all those things we do to try to look holy, he says it all falls short. And Jesus actually identifies, when he's talking to these Pharisees, these super religious people, he identifies two massive flaws in religion. Two massive flaws with religion, just they stand out. And he says this in Matthew 23. He's talking to these guys, and he brings these two up. He says this, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. He says these guys, they're so worried about these little things, about even tithing off of their little herb garden, that they wouldn't want any of that to be held back. But he says, you're looking at these little things and you're missing the huge things. And this is one of the major flaws of religion. Religion, it majors on the minors. Religion majors on the minors. It focuses in on the tiniest of details and misses the whole picture. Jesus says, you're worried about swallowing a gnat. Meanwhile, you just choked down a camel. You miss the whole point. Friends, this is what religion does. Religion focuses on these little tiny things and misses the point. Like religion will argue and argue and argue that you have to read a certain translation of the Bible because that's the only thing that's inspired is the Word of God. And at the same time, they won't actually read the Bible. The religious people will tell you, you can't read that Bible because it's not this translation. But if you actually asked them, when was the last time you looked at the Bible? They haven't looked at the Bible in weeks. I think we miss the point here, right? We're worried about the gnat, you miss the camel. I think we're supposed to just be reading it. Religion will focus in on the smallest detail. Religion will try to say that what we do, like say a church like us, when we're reaching out to those people who are lost and how we communicate to them, they'll say, I don't like how you did this, and I don't like this little detail of what you said, and I don't like this little detail of what you did, instead of seeing the big picture of people knowing Jesus. They'll complain about how we share Jesus with somebody instead of being thankful for the fact that someone met Jesus. Focused all on those little tiny details. Religion will try to, it'll try to meter every little bit of our lives. And what it'll try to do is find there has to be a line that we can come up to. And once we cross that line, we step into sin. But if we can just teeter right here before it, then we'll be okay, right? Instead of realizing you're missing the whole point, that faith in Jesus isn't about trying to walk some sort of line. It's about pursuing Him and pursuing purity. Not about how close we can get to a line without falling over. It's about how far we can run towards Jesus. Religion, it majors on these little tiny details. And it'll miss the whole point. Friends, here's a big one. Religion will get worried about the smallest things, like I've seen religious people get worried about hearing curse words. And what they'll do is because of the fact that they don't want to hear a curse word for fear that that might jog their Christian mind, right? They'll remove themselves from situations where they can be light and salt to people who are in darkness. I don't want to hang around people who are cursing. They're the people who need Jesus. I don't want you, don't say those words in front of me. Why? Friends, your faith is not so weak that if you hear an F-bomb, you're going to lose your salvation. It's okay. You have Jesus inside of you. You can hear someone drop a curse word and you're going to be okay, okay? But people will focus on the minors, right? The little details. I don't want to hear that. And instead, they'll forsake a relationship that they could be spreading love and they could be spreading the truth about Jesus. Always about the minors, not about the majors. Worrying about gnats and instead swallowing camels. And that's the scary thing about religion. Jesus goes on, the same exact chapter, as he's kind of talking to these religious people. And he says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites." He starts the same way. And I don't know if you caught this, what he uses. He says, "What sorrow." And listen to that. This isn't Jesus just yelling at people. He's scared for them. He says, I'm scared for what's going to happen to you because of your religion. He says, "Hypocrites, you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." He says, you're all worried about the outside of the cup. And instead you ignore the inside, which is what's actually filthy, what actually needs to be clean. This is the other big problem with religion. Religion, it tries to fix problems from the outside in instead of the inside out. You can't fix problems from the outside in. It doesn't work. Jesus says, do you realize how silly you look? I mean, like, can we just apply it for real? Like, we just did probably a whole bunch of dishes, right? When you do dishes, you use the inside of a bowl or the inside of a cup. And he says, can you imagine how silly you look scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing the outside of the dish, hoping that the inside will become clean? He says, the inside is where the food actually was. That's what needs to be clean. And he says, if you wash the inside of it, if you clean out the inside of it, as you clean it, that clean and fresh water will overflow to the outside and it will affect the outside of the dish. Friends, religion is always about the exterior, not the interior. It thinks it can solve the problems by starting with the outside, and it doesn't work. Religion, when you start a relationship with Jesus, religion will tell you, now it's time to clean up the outside of your life to look like a Christian. Now it's time for you to stop swearing, and now it's time for you to stop smoking. That's not what a Christian looks like. Friends, that's not going to make you fall more in love with Jesus. I'm not saying that you shouldn't still clean up your language, that you shouldn't decide to quit smoking, but friends, I would much rather you continue to speak curse words and smell like hell than go to hell because you're worried about those outside things instead of the inside things. People will share, "Oh, well, I'm a Christian now. You know, I should really stop smoking." And I say, "Don't, you know what? Don't worry about smoking. How about you start thinking about how you can love your wife better? I should quit saying bad words." Yeah, maybe, but how about first you start asking the Holy Spirit to bring peace and joy into your life? I'm not saying those things don't need to happen someday, but that's not where you need to put your focus right now. Put your focus on the inside and what needs to change, and the outside will change. If you just think it's all about these outside details, making stuff look good. Oh, I'm going to post my little Christian Facebook verse, right? Today, the Bible today on my Facebook to make sure everyone knows I'm a Christian. It doesn't work. You have to start with the inside. That's what it's all about. I've watched as parents have raised their kids to be religious. Parents that are more concerned about what their kids look like than about where their heart is. More worried about their son or daughter getting pregnant or not getting pregnant, not because their heart's far away from Jesus, but because it will make their family not look like a good Christian family. You missed the entire point. It's not about what the outside looks like. It's about what's in the inside. This is for us as a church why we're so passionate about Acts Kids. When I talk about our kids program, the reason why we're so passionate is because we do not teach kids outside-in life change. Unlike so many other religions where you think we'd be teaching our kids, don't do this, do this. Don't do this, do this. We tell them Jesus loves you. He comes into your life. And if you love him, you try to honor him with all of your life. See, that's different. That's not don't do this, do this. We can't put enough rules around kids to make them fall in love with Jesus. But we can focus kids' hearts in on Jesus, and then once they meet him, we can say, live your entire life to honor him. It's inside out. That's the way that lives are actually changed. Religion is all about the exterior instead of the interior, but it doesn't work. Jesus shows us. God shows us. Religion doesn't work. It falls short of actually satisfying God, okay? But then why? Why do so many Christians become religious? I mean, I know that there are multiple different religions, but let's just focus in on ours that we're talking about today, those people who talk about Jesus. Why do so many Christians become religious if it doesn't work? This is why. Because religion makes us feel good. Religion makes us feel good by lying to us about spiritual growth. Let me say it again. Religion makes us feel good by lying to us about spiritual growth. You see, all those outward practices and all those things we say or we learn or we do, they can fool us into thinking we're getting closer to God. But friends, just because you know more about something doesn't mean you love it more. I can study and study and study some person in history. It doesn't mean I love them. Just because I know more about them and I know more about what they did and what they said doesn't mean I have any sort of relationship or respect or love for them. Or just because I do something, just because I put in time or I do these things doesn't mean I actually care. I could just be doing it to look good. You see, religion, it lets us compare ourselves with other people, and we say, oh, I know more about God than I did a little while ago. I do more for God than I did a little while ago. I must be getting more spiritually mature, when the fact is we could be stagnant, completely stagnant. But it fools us. Friends, those outward things that we do and we say and we learn, it doesn't necessarily mean we're getting closer to God. All it means is we're doing more, we're saying more. It doesn't work. Now, that would be enough. That would be enough for us as a church to say we want to be actively religious. It doesn't work. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of effort. It lies to people about spiritual growth. But it actually gets far worse than that. When we look through the Bible, God speaks through a leader to show us the fact that religion isn't just useless. Religion is terribly dangerous. That religion can actually be extremely dangerous. Paul planted a bunch of churches when he was a leader. He planted them all over the area. One of them was in a town called Galatia. And after a while of him being gone, after this church was growing up, he got reports that these people were becoming very religious. That other people were coming around and they were saying that they needed to follow some of the old Jewish laws. That at that time, in the Jewish law system, if you were a man, you had to be circumcised. And that was literally you changing your physical body to represent that you had a relationship with God. To make you different than other people. To show that you would do something that drastic, that you would change your actual body to be closer to God. That they come in and they start saying, well, of course, you still have to be circumcised. You still have to follow some of the law in order to be close to God. And Paul realizes these people are starting to believe this. And listen what he writes to them in the book of Galatians 5, 1 through 4. This is Paul talking to the church. He says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision, right, that outward change of your life, you doing something to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Friends, this verse, and especially those last two sentences, they should strike terror in your heart. They scare me when I read those, to be honest with you. Paul says, if you start thinking that you can do something to make you right with God, that you can do something religious to earn part of your salvation, you can forfeit the grace that Jesus has brought into your life. It's like he's saying, here's the deal, friends. You can take Jesus, which is grace. The idea that we could not fix our own sin, we could not heal our relationship with God, that Jesus did all of it, and we can accept that gift freely, that he paid for all of it, he did it all, and it is completely grace, not dependent on anything that we have done. Or you can pick trying really hard. But he says the problem is you can't hold on to both. You can't hold on to Jesus' grace and then also think, but I'm also going to try really hard to earn my salvation. He says, you can only hold on to one. So as soon as you grab a hold of all that religion and think, I'm going to start doing stuff and I'm going to earn my faith, I'm going to earn my salvation. He says, in order to grab it, you had to have let go of Jesus. That's terrifying. Terrifying. It's almost to say this. If you think that salvation comes from Jesus plus something, if you put a plus sign in that equation and thought, plus I do this, he says you've already added a negative sign in front of Jesus. He left your equation. If you think salvation comes from Jesus plus I do this or plus I do that, he says you just remove Jesus from the equation. You can't have both. Either grace or hard work, you can't take both. A good way to check this, it comes through my mind, and honestly, I should be even more offensive and just say this to people sometimes, but sometimes I don't want to be. Answer this question in your head. Why are you going to heaven? If you're going, in your head, answer, why are you going to heaven? Now, if your answer had anything other than just Jesus and what he did for me, if it wasn't that, or if in your head you said Jesus and what he did for me, and then you said something else, like, I try to do good, I try to read my Bible, I try to do more good than harm, I try to be a good person, you might not be going to heaven. If when you answered that question, you said Jesus plus something, Paul's saying, you might be confused and you might not actually make it. That's how dangerous religion is. He says, you can't add something to Jesus. If you do, you had to have let go of him. That you can forsake the grace of Jesus in your life by thinking that you can earn your salvation in some way. Friends, this is what's so scary. Religion is so dangerous because it has the power to fool us into giving up Jesus. Religion is so dangerous because it has the power to fool us into giving up Jesus. That we can begin to do things and learn things and know things about God, to begin to do things like this, right? I go to church and I read my Bible, and we can begin to think that that is what's fixed the relationship with God, that that is the means by which God will be blessing us, is because we give our money or we give our time or we give our effort. And friends, if we start to think at any time that that is where salvation comes from, we're turning away and we're letting go of the grace of Jesus. And you might miss heaven. Salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Nothing that we do, simply us accepting his gift, that he came here and he paid for every one of our flaws and failures. That's what's so amazing. That he healed our relationship with God, and all we must do is accept that gift that he had given to us, that it has nothing to do with our own doing better and having the right thoughts, knowing everything about faith, that it is a gift that we accept. X Church is actively irreligious because of this. We don't want religion. In fact, we want to steer you away from it and steer you instead into a relationship with Jesus. Now, what does this mean for us as a church? It means that we will not try to be more holy than Jesus. Some religious people are more holy than Jesus. We won't. Jesus wasn't that good at religion. We don't care to be that good at religion. We don't want to make things sacred that aren't sacred. We don't want to elevate traditions to the place where they seem as though they're equal with the Word of God. For us as a church, we're not going to get caught up focusing on those little tiny details. We're not going to major in the minors. We're going to keep our eyes on the big picture. We're going to swallow a few gnats and not swallow the camels, okay? We're not going to be worried about those little things. As a church, we're going to focus on the inside of the cup and not the outside of the cup. That you'll hear in our preaching, we don't preach, try harder, fix yourself, clean up your life. Instead, you'll hear us say, trust Jesus. Invite the Holy Spirit into the inside of your life. Begin to focus on the heart and watch as that affects the outside of your life. You'll see us over and over and over again. If I ever change, man, someone come up here and punch me, okay? If I ever start talking about the fact that you got to try harder on that exterior, I'm missing the point. Someone come up here, slap me across the face, remind me of it. Because the point is, it starts with the inside. That's what fixes everything. Friends, we will never, ever, ever add anything to Jesus. The salvation is Christ and Christ alone, that he is the only means by which we are saved. No religion, our faith, our church isn't even built on Christianity. It's built on Jesus, not on a religion, on a person. Friends, we will do things to keep you away from becoming religious. We'll steer you away from religion if we can, because it's dangerous and it can fool you. Fool you into thinking that you're saved when you're not. You know, at the beginning of this church, like I said, that day we ended up taking the day off, telling everyone, just go hang out, relax, right? And I got that phone call. I'm a heathen, right? I'm leading people astray from God, all of that stuff. And I said, okay. And I hung up the phone. Like I said, I was just kind of in my mind thinking about that. But, you know, honestly, you kind of always question your mind. Am I doing something wrong? Is God not going to honor this? I remember that day, I ended up inviting everyone who was part of our church plan, if they wanted to come over later that afternoon, to come hang out at my parents' house. We were going to have a fire. And a few of the girls had ended up going out shopping that morning, and they ran into this girl, and they started chatting and talking about their lives, and the girl basically tagged along with them and came back to my parents' house and sat by the fire. And we began talking about faith. And this girl explained that she really needed a relationship with Jesus, and that afternoon I got to lead that girl to salvation. Friends, the first salvation this church ever saw was the day we skipped church. That's our God. When we weren't so religious that we took a step back, that was the day God sent the very first person we got to lead to Jesus in this church. We refuse to be religious, and I refuse to let you become religious either. What does this mean for you? Like I said, know that the only reason for your salvation is Jesus. Jesus alone, nothing more. Refuse to get distracted by the little things. Refuse to spend your Christian life focused on the gnats and swallowing camels. Refuse to get in long arguments about those tiny details and instead spend your life focusing on the camels, the big picture. Refuse to just try to fix your life by shining up. Refuse to just try to act like a Christian and stop those things that show to everyone else that you want to try to, oh, I want to stop doing that because people see that. And instead, focus on the heart. Focus on what's going on in your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Start with the inside. Paul said this to the Galatians, and I think that it's a good word for you today. He says, Christ has set you free. Now stay free. Friends, if you've met Jesus here, and we've got to see so many of you, I know you, I've watched you start your relationship with Jesus. Friends, stay free. Don't let religion grab a hold of your hearts. Don't let religion start talking you into thinking that you can earn something. Stay free. Just stay wrapped up in the grace of Jesus. And if there's something in your life that's pointed out that you think, oh, I wish I could come past this, don't think about just fixing that problem. Think about walking with Jesus towards it. He'll help. Focus on that inside, and I believe he'll take you through it. Acts Church is actively irreligious, and I hope you will be too. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for being a God who isn't a God of religion, but a God of relationship. That it isn't that you just sent us a list of rules and a list of do's and do nots. You sent us your Son. You sent us Jesus so that we might know him, have a relationship with him. God, I ask that you would help us to stay free, that we would not get distracted and fall away. I pray that you would guard these people's hearts as they continue to walk out their faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.